The WLEW, News and Public Affairs Department, now presents What Do You Think? Here's your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Good morning. We have a couple of guests in the studio today. We have Rhonda Weisenbaugh. She is the Executive Director of Thumb Industries, and Danny McKimmy. She's a coordinator for the upcoming Camel Races, the ninth, I understand. It's the ninth edition of the Camel Races, a fundraiser for Thumb Industries. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having us, Craig.
For those who have somewhere been a void for the last 9 years, what is the Camel Races all about?
Camel Races are actually Thumb Industries' largest fundraiser that we have on an annual basis. We've been holding it now, I believe, for the past 6 years at the Knights of Columbus Hall.
Because it grew?
Because it grew tremendously in popularity and excitement. We have wooden silhouette camels that individuals as well as businesses sponsor for us. They dress those camels up, and then we race six camels per race with a big red pair of fuzzy dice. So that's kind of, I guess, in a nutshell how it works. And then we have, of course, a catered dinner that evening and lots of fun activities throughout the night.
So it works, you roll the dice, and how many you roll is how many spaces you move, that type of thing, or is it more complicated than that at times?
So with the dice, whatever number camel comes up, number 1 through 6, they will advance one space each time their number comes up on the dice.
Oh, okay.
So the one to advance 10 spaces first is actually the winner of that particular race.
Ooh. And then they go on to separate heats later on, and then you get down to the Grand Champion.
Absolutely. So, and then our final race is actually for our fastest camel of the evening. So we're able to select the fastest camels throughout the night and put those in a race to find out overall who was the fastest of the evening.
But the fastest would be based on the number of the lane they were in and what came up. So you can't have them all in lane 7 or in lane 5 or something. If that's the deal.
Fastest camels are actually the camels that are the top money makers.
Top 6
money makers. So as individuals bets are calculated on those camels. And then at the end of the night, those top 6 money makers are the ones that are raced then for the fastest camel.
Now, the action sounds fun, but people sitting out there are thinking, okay, there's a whole lot more going on, isn't there? I mean, this is a dinner, social activity. There's a lot more to it than just rolling some dice.
Absolutely. Like I said, we start the evening with a catered dinner. The event is BYOB. And then,
so if you want mint juleps or whatever you want for the races, you have to bring them yourself, because the venue, the American Legion Hall, allows for alcohol. You're able to do this.
The Knights of Columbus does allow us to bring our own beverages in for the evening. And then throughout the night, we have 50-50 raffles as well as door prizes that are drawn throughout the evening. There are door prizes that are awarded after every heat of racing. And then we also have a silent auction raffle that goes on also.
And these door prizes, these are things businesses donate.
Correct. Businesses and individuals.
And individuals who go out and get a certificate or something, they donate and away it goes.
Yep. Gift certificates, goods, services.
So even if your camel doesn't win, you do have the opportunity, if you had a losing bet. We do what we call kind of losing ticket drawings, where between heats we pass out those prizes. So even if your camel didn't come in first place and you didn't win, you do have an opportunity to win a prize that has been donated from a business.
And I'm trying to remember from years past, and maybe I'm going to get this wrong, so please bear with me. Didn't you have things like camel dollars people buy when they're there, as opposed to using the green currency? You use camel dollars that you purchase at like the teller gate or whatever you want to call it there, where you would normally place your bets.
So before post time, individuals are able to trade their real dollars for what we call camel bucks, which is basically kind of looks like Monopoly money with a camel on it. It's kind of fun, but that's what we utilize to bet on the races throughout the evening. you know, just to kind of keep it a little bit more fun and interesting and, you know, have a good time.
And then at the end, you cash out, and if you want to, you can still donate some of that if you want, if you got good winnings to some industries. I'm sure you, they wouldn't twist your arm and you'd say no.
No, we've been very fortunate throughout the years that many of the individuals that do participate in the event, they don't even cash out. Those individuals donate their winnings back to our organization. So.
And how big of a fundraiser is this? How did you do last year?
So last year we raised just under $22,000. We have raised, you know, in the upwards in the past few years near about $26,000. This year we're kind of hoping maybe it's going to be one of our biggest years ever. We have actually, all of our camels are actually sponsored this year.
So you're sold out of camels?
We are sold out of camels at this point. We are not sold out of tickets quite yet.
So there's still space available if you and your family want to come out and see what it's all about.
Absolutely. We have just under 100 tickets remaining for the event, and they're available to purchase through our website, thumbindustries.com, also at our main office on Sand Beach Road, and through our thrift store location, located across from Walmart.
And ticket prices are?
$25 per person. That, of course, includes your dinner for the evening. And then your ticket does get you entered into a drawing for a door prize for the evening as well.
And I understand people come there dressed for the races. Some of them do. All dolled up and ready to go.
We do have some individuals that really get into it. Some groups, larger groups, come and they dress their camel in a certain attire, and the groups will kind of follow suit. We can have individuals who dress like they're going to the Kentucky Derby. So we do have a number of individuals that do dress up, and that just kind of makes the fundraiser even more fun.
And how did this start? If I remember, you guys saw this somewhere else and thought it would be a good idea. And like most good ideas, you give it a shot and you hope for the best, and turned out to be the best.
Mm-hmm. We actually had a group in Davison that actually supported us our first year. This was a fundraiser that they had, and we wanted to replicate it here. They came up, assisted us with that, and it just kind of went from there.
So they were camels with one hump, and now you're the camel two. and you get the wooden camel, and then you dress it up. That is part of the activity, is to try and come up with something novel. What kind of weird things have you had? I know we've kind of participated with Tina out in the front area there, and there have been snakes and stuff going on and such, so it gets kind of weird.
We've had some very amazing camels over the years, some very memorable ones. You had mentioned Tina, and she did the 30-point buck from the song. That was pretty fantastic. We've actually had Thumb Bank and Trust did Groot a few years ago. Courtney Manor did a very elaborate
peacock.
We've had some very, very talented, very creative people that have really made it, fantastic.
Now, we have a little trophy out here from one of our things in the past. Is that something that you folks do? Is there a big traveling one for the grand prize winners, or does everybody who wins take home a little trophy?
So we do a trophy every year, and the trophies go out to the fastest camel, which Rhonda kind of explained earlier. And then also, too, we have individuals that are attending the event. They'll get a ticket when they walk in the door to drop into a bucket in front of the camel that they think is the best dressed. So, you know, the most creative, interesting, I guess, looking camel. So those are the two trophies that we award for the evening.
So some bragging rights you can walk away with.
Absolutely.
Who hosts the event? Last year it was Clark Ramsey, who does her ball games, and the circuit judge, Gerald Prill. Are they back again for a, for another go round.
Yep. Popular demand brought them back, and Clark Ramsey and Judge Prill will be our MCs for the night. They're kind of our masters of the craziness, but
they kind of seem like they would play off of each other because they're so different.
They do. They just do an excellent job kind of bantering back and forth. They really get the crowd involved, excited, and they've just done a great job at this fundraiser.
That's terrific. And again, if they want tickets, where do they go? They go on the website. Is that the easiest way to get them?
It is probably the easiest way to get them. Like I said, you can also stop by our office anytime, Monday through Friday, 8 to 4, or you can visit our thrift store. We also have them available there.
That's terrific. Hope you get a great turnout again this year. And how many camels do you have that race? Is there like a dozen? Is there...
So we race 6 camels per race, and then we actually do 9 races. With those, divvying up those
14 different ones out there, or how many individual camels?
So there's actually a total of 54 camels.
Oh my gosh.
So, and then we actually run our 10th race, which is the fastest camel race. And then this year we will actually be adding an 11th race to do our mystery race again.
In the end, do they need to turn the camels in their bare stripped form, or do you make more every year?
So, once an individual sponsors them, then, they're able to either dismantle the camel.
Because they do some elaborate things.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And they may not, you may be spackling like crazy.
Right. Well, yeah. We obviously, the camels are stripped down every year to their wooden silhouettes to go back out to be sponsored again.
So you recycle.
We do. We ask individuals just not to do anything permanent to them.
You don't want holes drilled in.
Right. So, we don't want them painted and so on. We do have some businesses that have been sponsors with us really since the beginning that actually have their own camel. They've made their own camel.
To your specs.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Everything has to be equal when you're judging and such. Especially if you've got a circuit judge in there running around, you're going to make sure everything's hunky and or dory.
Right. But yeah, so we have individuals who actually have their own camels that they use year after year. So.
Like your own bowling shoes.
Right.
Well, great. And I hope you get a good turnout. Again, they can get the tickets if they want. Now, it is coming up, though, next month.
Saturday, March 7th. We're always the very first Saturday in March.
So it's as late in March as it can be for the first Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah. So, and then just to let individuals know, if you do bring your own beverages to the event on that Saturday, we will have Thumb Area Transit there from 9 p.m. until
the end of the event. They've donated their services to us, which is very much appreciated.
So if you need a safe ride home, they will actually be providing that service as a donation for free to individuals.
And how long does the event usually go on? Is it clear out about a little after 11 or something, as opposed to,
We're usually wrapping up our last race. It depends, but we're usually done and cleared out 11 or shortly thereafter.
Except for you poor folks that have to stay behind and clean up a bit. All that glitter.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, again, I hope you get a good turnout. Rhonda's here, and we were hoping we might get a little update on Thumb Industries and your recycling program, because I know a lot of people were kind of OMG when they saw the stories from us and other media that, you're having considerations of having to stop it because of the financials of it.
Right. Unfortunately, the past couple of years, the price of commodities have decreased by about 66%.
That's what you get for the stuff that is recycled.
Yes. And unfortunately, that is causing some strains, obviously, on that service.
And that's probably supply and demand, because so many people are recycling now, there's a bigger supply out there.
Correct, correct.
But it also has a lot to do with
China
and some of the things that are going on over there as well, in terms of what they will actually accept in terms of recyclable materials.
And then, of course, there's transportation costs and other things that all factor into these things as to how much it really costs.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But part of the problem, if I remember from you appeared at a commissioner's meeting about it, was that the funding mechanism is changing its focus, and what you used in the past is not going to be available.
Our focus now, and this is a focus through the federal government, state of Michigan, Employment First is an initiative where individuals with disabilities, we want them to be afforded the same opportunity as everyone else in the community. And that includes being employed in the community at a competitive job. And our focus now at Thumb Industries is to provide them training and support within our in-house services, so that then we can also find them a competitive job in the community, and we can support them in that aspect too. So as that is changing, our focus and our staffing is changing, and we're providing more support in the community. So that is one of the other reasons why we're also looking at other ways that we can support our recycling efforts.
And as you probably could tell us, you know, you're best able to see which of your clients more easily transition and others who might be more difficult, and the structured program you have in-house was a better fit.
And everything's individualized. Individuals have person-centered plans of service. We obviously work with them, identify what their strengths are, what their barriers could possibly be. And our job as a supporting agency is to work with them so we can identify what a potential job in the community would look like for them, work with the businesses to meet their needs as well, and then provide that support for that individual so that they can be successful on that job.
And this type of transition is nothing new for Thumb Industries, all the way back to when you were the sheltered workshop decades and decades ago. Things change, and the focus changes with the money that comes.
Mm-hmm. And this technically, we've been doing what's called supported employment for years. It actually started in the mid to late 80s, where we have been placing individuals in the community in competitive work. But there is just a much more greater focus for agencies such as ours to have more individuals working in integrated settings, so they can have relationships and interact with individuals like any of us can.
And that feeling that comes with getting a paycheck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which, at the end of the day, you look at it and you say, what is the government taking all this stuff out for? But,
You're right. That's a huge aspect. And that's one huge aspect of keeping individuals healthy, I guess, with their mental health. We look at, physical health as being important, but individuals with their mental health, being productive, working in the community, having friendships, that all spills over into the individual's, whole health, and their physical health as well. So that's why it is very important for anyone to work, because you do feel a sense of pride and a sense of satisfaction when you do get that paycheck.
And I assume for the families, there's peace of mind that their family member is becoming a little more independent, that, you know, like for parents, what happens when I'm gone? Well, you get a little more comfortable knowing they can hold a job, and, you know, the brothers and sisters will always be there to look for you. But, you know, it's that, you know, leaving the nest type of thing that parents dread, but also love in the end, because you've succeeded.
Mm-hmm. And that's one thing our agency, as well as here in behavioral health, we just have that reassurance for those family members that there is support for the individual, whether it's your son or daughter, or if you're a guardian of an individual, that there is someone that's going to be there to support them. And if they need help, we can always intervene and we can step in and assist them.
And I'm sure you have the stories of the families that try to hold them back a little bit because they're afraid. And you have to be there to show them, yes, they can do this, this isn't a problem, and become more independent, because sometimes you just want to nurture too much.
Well, and change is different for everyone. It's very difficult for everyone, whether you have a disability or not. And, I mean, parents want what's best for their son or daughter, and, you know, we're working with them through that process, because it can be a scary process, to let them know that the support that they received in-house at Thumb Industries is still going to be provided to their son or daughter when they transition in the community as well.
It's kind of like a re-education process, I think, a little bit, in the in terms of them understanding that, you know, things we provided in-house, that moves forward going out into the community. So just educating, you know, parents, guardians, and I guess even employers or potential employers going forward too.
And that's one thing that I've worked at Thumb Industries for 20 years, and individuals...
For many years.
For many years. And the individuals that we serve, when they put their mind to something, they can do it, and they are very loyal, dedicated employees that have a lot to offer employers in the community.
And sometimes we grumble about today's kids. They're the ones that show up for work.
They definitely do. Mm-hmm. And they take pride in their work.
They do.
Now, before we go, you do have some things besides the recycling. You have the store.
Yeah,
uptown. How's that going? You moved into part of the old Farmer Jack store when it left, and because you needed more space. Mm-hmm. And how's that working out for you?
We're just amazed at the community support that we receive. Individuals that donate to our organization, they obviously believe in the work that we do. And
they donate good stuff.
They do.
Because, you know, you don't want somebody dumping their trash.
Yeah.
And usable stuff and things that... you can sell.
Mm-hmm. Again. And individuals are very mindful of that. They obviously donate knowing that the proceeds are used to support our services that we provide to individuals with disabilities. They see our consumers working on a daily basis within the store. Mm-hmm. We can't be happier with the way that the store is performing at this time.
Donations continue to be at an all-time high, and we're so very grateful for that, and, you know, we're an organization that can honestly say that everything you donate stays local, and even things that maybe we can't sell in the store, you know, we're passing on to World Missions to ensure that, you know, everything that is donated to us is being utilized in the best possible way.
So those items can be used, in third world countries, that maybe it's an item that has a small rip or stain, doesn't necessarily meet up to our quality standards, but that is an item that we in turn would send to World Missions, and that goes to third world countries that maybe have been hit by hurricanes, earthquakes, so it's helping individuals that are in great need.
Mm-hmm. When people think of the thrift shop, I think most comes to mind is clothes, but there's a lot of other stuff in there. I mean, you get some furniture, you have TVs, computer screens. I've seen all kinds of things in there. Mm-hmm. People might be surprised if they haven't gone in there lately to see just how diverse a selection you have.
We kind of pride ourselves on there's something for everyone at the store.
Yep.
We have a handyman's corner where you might have tools, kind of find things that the gentleman would need. Like you said, clothing, household goods, furniture, books. We have timeless treasures, our antiques and collectibles that's also housed in our thrift store. So there is truly something for everyone.
The only frustrating part is you find something you like and it's not in your size, and it's not like a store where there's
right?
You know, a whole rack of the same thing in different sizes. Yeah, you have to
Yeah, but if you look a little closer, you can probably find something that's in your size that's just as good.
Oh, absolutely. And, I mean, you know, if you've never been or if you're a fan of our thrift store, we do have a half-off sale that starts on Friday and runs through the weekend. So, great time to check it out.
You also have, like, cards you send. You have blank ones that you work on, if I remember that correctly, don't you?
In terms of greeting cards and so on, yes. We do have an individual. She runs what we call a micro business.
So somebody else is filling a niche inside the store.
It's a self-operated business that we actually support with that individual. And she sells, you know, anywhere from, birthday cards to special occasion cards, thank you cards, invitations, etc.
She can take pieces of old cards and put them together, and if you have a box of Christmas cards you're not using anymore, she can use those, and you have some things you can get at a reduced rate, and there you go.
Absolutely. So, and we do have other individuals that sell their craft goods and homemade goods there as well, alongside of the cards that we do have in the store. So a lot of that is handcrafted things by our individuals. We have homemade dog biscuits. We sell jars of buttons for crafts. We have little mugs that you can give that have snacks and such in them. You know, all kinds of things from time to time. You know, we have wreaths as well as,
this is stuff people don't think of when you think of the thrift store. You think of, you can go there and you buy some jeans. And I'm sure parents who bring stuff to donate are sitting there, I hope my kid doesn't come here and buy it all back. Because they'll get there and go, I got one just like this. Now I have two.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't. But it's amazing when you go in there, and the new bigger space allows you to display more. You don't have to leave as much in the back; it's all out front.
Absolutely. If you see something, I always tell people, if you see something you like, you better buy it that day, because you go back and it'll be gone.
And our items are constantly changing every day. We put new items out. We try to run it just like a retail store would be run. So we have different seasons. So right now we're getting ready. We're
clearing out winter.
Our winter and putting out our spring fashions and merchandise. So
and you do seasonal holidays too. You'd be working
on
Valentine's right now, and then after that Easter and the other things that you have that would fit.
Yep, yeah. Valentine's Day merchandise is clearance right now, and Easter merchandise is out, and more is coming out daily.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why we do that. We try to set it up so it is a realistic retail training, so that as our individuals progress, they could transition to work in a retail store.
Mm-hmm.
And people can go in there and see how the employees work and find, hey, they'll make a good employee for me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Friendly, they're helpful, and I don't know how they keep track of everything, but they seem to know where everything is.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the things that we can do with our supported employment program, we do have what are called community-based assessments, where as we're working with individuals that maybe they don't have a lot of experience in the workforce or haven't worked for a number of years, we do have the opportunity where we, as Thumb Industries, would be the employer of record. But an employee could have them work and train at their business for a number of hours to see how they can work, see their skill set. And then our hopes are that after that opportunity, that individual would be hired by that business, and then we could continue to support them through job coaching or helping them learn their task.
Mm-hmm.
Because every business is a little different. The business you run at Thumb Industries will be a little different than that, and you can help them work over the kinks.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, it sounds like a terrific program, and I'm glad we have something like Thumb Industries up here to help people. How far do you cover? Is it just Huron County, or do you bleed into the others?
No, we actually also work in Sanilac County. In Sanilac County, we have our employment services, which would be that supported employment, where we help individuals find competitive work in that county.
because a lot of your constituents, your customers, whatever word you use for them, they rely a lot on Thumb Area Transit, which doesn't go into Santa Clara County to get to get to work.
Yeah. So the individuals that we do serve in Huron County, obviously can be served through Thumb Area Transit, but Santa Clara County, those are Santa Clara County residents that they have their transportation system too that we work with them.
Terrific. Thanks for being with us. If people have questions, they can go to the website or they can contact Thumb Industries and find out if you have an employee that might work for them or if they have a family member that might benefit from your programs. So, terrific. Is that normally how you people seek you out, or do you get referrals?
We do get referrals. We get referrals from Huron Behavioral Health as well as Michigan Rehabilitation Services. They're our primary funders. But also we have individuals that privately pay, or they do contact us with questions, and we can link them to the appropriate agency that can help them.
And any other services you have? You used to have like cleaning. I don't know if all of this is going by the by.
We also provide janitorial services, primarily to businesses in the Huron County area.
Yeah, it's not a residential thing.
Correct.
It's for businesses because you were trying to get people into the workplace.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think we have about 28 businesses that we currently clean for in Huron County. And then we also have a manufacturing department that we work with various companies in Huron County, Sanilac County, do hand assembly work for
that
them as
the
well.
Back part of your office on 142
yes,
heading towards Harbor Beach.
Yes, that's our main
Harbor
facility.
Beach.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for being with us today. Again, camel races are on what date?
Saturday, March 7th.
At the Bad Axe Knights of Columbus Hall.
Bad Axe Knights.
And the doors open at?
5:30.
Dinner at 6.
Dinner at 6. Race post time at 7.
Tickets available online. Go to Thumb Industries online. Google it and you can get yourself some tickets. There are some left.
We ask people not to wait because these last few days, they go quick. So if you're planning on attending, don't wait.
Thanks for being with us. Our guests today on the program have been Rhonda Weisenbaugh, the Executive Director of Thumb Industries, and Danny McKimmy. She is a coordinator for the upcoming Camel Races. And coming up at the top of the hour, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news. Just keep it right here.